This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beltway Blitz time on Grant and Danny. Each and every day at noon, we cover three teams you care the most about. We got no time to waste, so let's start on the gridiron. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. Craig, coordinator spoke for the first time yesterday. Scott Turner, Jack Del Rio meeting with the media. What'd you take out of those conversations?
I mean, both really smart guys that I think have a clear vision of what they want to do. They're a part of Ron Rivera's greater vision. I think for Turner, I think he did a really good job of making clear that he knows what Dwayne Haskins does well, and I think that also implicitly says that he knows some of the things where Dwayne's going to need some work. And so I'm curious to see how that relationship develops over the next couple of months, obviously headed into a critical offseason and to decide whether or not Dwayne is indeed the future of this franchise. There's some things they distinctly want to see from this staff. And then on the defensive side, I think Del Rio is just a polished pro. Like, there's some things that he said, hey, it's a good question. I'm not going to get into that because I don't think it's in the best interest of the Redskins to do so. So he kind of understands the game, a guy who's been in media the last couple of years on top of being a previous head coach. But I think he's got strong feelings about what makes a good defense and, you know, making sure things are simple so that his players can react and play quickly. And that's going to be his big thing moving forward.
Craig, tell me if you've heard this before, but there have been some communication issues at times in the secondary of the Redskins. That was brought up, and I love Del Rio's answer. Get into that a little bit for us. And how do you solve those things? Is it as simple as simplifying the defense so guys know where to go?
Yeah, I think it is, Danny. And you know, so often last year you see the Redskins defense checking super late. You know, you have a motion, and that means you have to change everything. And I think for Del Rio, he probably looks at that and goes, what are we doing? Like, why are we letting the offense dictate that much to us as opposed to an offense? You know, like, the offense gets to call the shots, obviously. They're the ones who is initiating the action. Defense is a reactive side of the ball by nature. But can you put yourself in position to react quickly no matter what your call is? Just understand your responsibility. And then also the thing that he said, the step that was missing was, you have an understanding of what the offense is trying to do to you. And I think he probably watched a lot of tape and said, you know, we were just getting manipulated and an offense was doing exactly what they wanted because we didn't understand what they were trying to do to us. And so if you take out some of the communication, some of the checks, and just simplify what you have to do, you can put yourself in better position to react. And if you understand what the offense is doing at the snap of the ball, you can have a little bit of a cheat step, if you will, in that reaction.
Craig, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
See you, pal.
You got it. See you guys.
Let's talk a little hoops. Chase Hughes covers the Wizards. Last night, for a couple of quarters against the Bulls, they were hanging with Chicago, and then they got dismantled, giving up 30 in the fourth. Second half, outscored by a total of 14. What went wrong?
Yeah, it really started coming out of halftime. The Bulls went on a 22-6 run, and the Wizards just never fully recovered from that. And in the fourth quarter, they built a big double-digit lead. And I think there's some chemistry issues with this team right now, because though they're getting guys back from injury, a lot of them are on minutes restrictions. Thomas Bryant can only play 15 minutes a night. Bradley Beal can only play 25 to 30 minutes a night. So I think it's created kind of like a discombobulated rotation for Scott Brooks to deal with. And you saw the chemistry issues last night. Troy Brown didn't have a very good game. Isaiah Thomas continues to struggle despite the fact that he's putting up some points. And if you look at the box score, he might, you know, stand out, but defensively he's a liability. Zach LaVine was just getting right by him left and right. So I think it was just one of the more disconcerted efforts from the Wizards because their rotation is in flux right now.
Speaking of injuries, how close is Rui Hachimura to coming back?
I still think he's a few weeks away. You know, that groin injury was much more serious than they described early on. And, you know, last night there was video of him shooting around in Chicago. This is the first road trip that he's traveled on since having the surgery, and he couldn't jump on his jump shot. He's just kind of standing there shooting. The date I'm looking for is the All-Star weekend, because I know the Wizards and the league want him to play in the Rising Stars Challenge because it's international versus U.S. players, and that would be a big deal for him, the Wizards, and Japanese basketball. And I think we're getting kind of close to wondering if that's going to be possible because I still think he's 2-3 weeks away.
Of the recent games being played here, you got Gary Payton playing pretty well. Davis Bertans is back. Jordan McRae's made a big impact. Who are you most impressed by here over the last couple of weeks of this crop of guys now carrying the team?
I would probably say Gary Payton II. I think he's really stood out for this team because he's a defensive-minded player, and they are arguably the worst defense in all of basketball. And you know, he's a 27-year-old journeyman who's been cut many times. He spent more time in the G League than in the NBA. And he is the son of Gary Payton, obviously, a guy who is probably a top 30 all-time player. He's one of the probably best NBA players to have a son make the NBA. And this guy does not act like it. He's so humble. He's such a blue-collar player. And it's just been a joy to watch him play defense on the perimeter.
Chase, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Talk some puck, please, Tommy. Our pal J.J. Reagan, NBC Sports Washington, will talk that puck with us. Josiah James Reagan, let's get into the Caps here. They've gone down a little bit. That happens when you get off to that kind of rip-roaring start. They've equalized a little bit. Do you feel like they turned the corner the other night with that win against Carolina?
You know, I try not to make sweeping conclusions after one game in an 82-game season, but that game felt a little bit different. I think they figured out a little bit how to play against an aggressive forecheck, how to play specifically against Carolina, to the point that you'd feel more comfortable if they meet again in the playoffs. I don't think it's totally problem solved because you're not going to be able to replicate a playoff forecheck until you actually get to the playoffs, and especially on the road, because part of what Todd Reirden did was he got the matchups he wanted. He mentioned matching up the third line specifically against Carolina's second line. That becomes a lot harder to do on the road. But at least at home, they seem to have found a winning formula against a team that had given them fits early in the season. They lost to them two straight times. They ended up winning the last two. So I think it's a step in the right direction towards addressing one of the team's biggest problems, and that's playing against an aggressive forecheck.
Ilya Samsonov's coming off a shutout win in net. He is statistically, and it's not that close, the Caps' best goalie this season. When will we start seeing him maybe get chances to follow up on strong performances?
Well, this is going to be his first consecutive start tonight, so we're going to see it right away. You know, I don't think we're ever going to see a situation going down the stretch where Samsonov is getting, you know, 3 out of 4 starts. I just don't. Even in 2018, when Braden Holtby was at his absolute worst, he was splitting time with Philip Grubauer. He got some time off for a reset, but he was splitting time with Grubauer. This is a goalie who has played at most 37 games in a season in his career, so I don't see them overloading him down the stretch. Now, whether or not he's going to be the number one going into the playoffs, I think he's done enough to at least start that conversation, but in the last half of the regular season, I don't foresee him getting just a huge workload.
Jimmy Jackson Reagan, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Sure, anytime.
That there, that little tidy three-team segment, that's your Beltway Blitz.
That's the Blitz.
We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to the Fan News on Odell Beckham Jr. Could be in a little trouble after slapping a cop on the butt. And what Jessica Mendoza said today that is making national headlines about the Houston Astros getting caught cheating. An arrest warrant has been issued for Odell Beckham Jr. for simple assault after the video circulated that we talked about yesterday that drew my ire that I was so mad about. He's in the locker room. If you haven't seen it, there is what appears to be a police officer, maybe a security guard, I don't know, but I think it's a cop, talking to one of the players from LSU. The player is sitting at his locker or kind of in the locker room, it seems like, and the cop is talking to him, kind of looks like maybe asking him about what his, is it his Gatorade bottle or who knows? But the player is kind of annoyed by this cop. The cop's kind of bending over, asking him to show him something. Odell Beckham Jr., who is in the locker room for some unexplained reason, making it all about himself all night last night, a couple nights ago, is behind the cop and sees this. So he kind of takes something and flicks it in the cop's face. And the cop kind of turns around like, what was that? And then goes about his business a little more. And Odell Beckham Jr. is behind him. And then he decides to just slap the cop on the ass pretty hard. So the cop then turns around and that talks to Odell Beckham Jr., at which point Odell Beckham kind of starts taunting him and talking trash and pointing and saying, you know, whatever he's saying about presumably, like, you don't need to be doing this, whatever. So the point is, he hit this cop in the butt. It's just a video that shows what a clown Odell Beckham Jr. is.
And that's all it is, by the way. Just right. It's clownish behavior. We need to not involve arrest warrants, in my opinion, on this one.
That's fine. So they're trying to arrest or they're going to arrest Odell Beckham Jr. for simple assault. The take online, though, basically is what you're saying, essentially, which is essentially like that they shouldn't be doing this. That why are we arresting him? Does he need to be arrested? I don't know. Do I care if he gets arrested? Not at all.
Mm.
How about this? Don't hit the cop. That's it. I mean, a police officer's doing his job, and he gets hit in the butt by Odell Beckham Jr. and then taunted in his face by this guy. If you walk by and the cop is talking to Thom outside of Thom's car downstairs, and you flick something in the guy's face and he kind of turns around and keeps talking to Thom, and then you slap him in the butt and start yelling at him, what do you think's going to happen?
A person would be displeased, and rightfully so.
I'll bet you get thrown in the cop car. You think if you slap a cop in the ass for no reason, you're not getting taken?
I'm not endorsing Odell Beckham's actions. I'm saying, to me, assault, maybe it's my improper definition of what assault is. I think of assault as fisticuffs. I think of assault as like bodily injury. I think of assault as something above the threshold of being an idiot. I'm not endorsing what Beckham did. You can follow me around. I won't be slapping any cops on the buttocks at any time in the near future.
Yeah.
Or for the rest of my life, to be honest with you. I'm not endorsing what he did. But when you start going arrest warrants, you know, legal proceedings, now he's got to do jail time potentially or fines.
He's not doing jail time.
These are the charges associated.
Simple assault. I'll bet he's got to pay a fine and do some community service or something. He's not doing jail time for slapping a cop in the butt. But the point to me would be just simply, that's cool. You can defend Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not doing that. Well, there's two sides. Either what he did is deplorable and that's it, or he shouldn't be arrested. Like, inadvertently or indirectly, you are defending his actions, even if you're saying what he did was dumb.
I think it's a dumb, stupid, reprehensible, selfish bit of nonsense.
Right. Agreed on
that. I think we can have that be the case, then put a period at the end of it and say it doesn't rise to what assault is. But Maybe my legal definition isn't.
Assault, now we're getting into legal stuff, which I don't even care about. But, like, if you kind of walk by and, like, mockingly, like, just slap someone on the cheek, that's assault. You know, assault
like
doesn't
any
even
physical
have to
contact,
be,
I guess?
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be physical. If you're walking out of a bar and you shove someone up against the wall, you assaulted them. But, again, now we're getting into the semantics, which is not even the point to me. The point is this guy, who is a known buffoon.
Yeah, he's a buffoon.
All night long was being an idiot. He's passing out cash to college football players.
He's a cartoon character.
So, to me, I almost care less about him slapping a cop in the butt, which wasn't that big of a deal, and more about the dumbing down of society where we continually defend behavior of people like this as not that big of a deal.
We're on the same page there.
Like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It was just funny. Like, oh, LOL, Odell Beckham Jr. being crazy again. No, this is unacceptable. This is deplorable behavior. Let's not endorse this. Let's not make this out like it's nothing. Should he be arrested? No, probably not. I don't care at all that he is.
Yeah, it's hard for me to feel too bad for him.
Oh my! Zero shame.
Right.
For no reason. You involved yourself. This situation had nothing to do with him. Now, it shouldn't surprise you that he got involved because neither did the national championship, and he was the biggest star other than Joe Burrow that night. But a cop is talking to a player. Why was he in there? I don't know. What's he saying to the player? I don't know. Does he have to be doing that? Probably not. You're missing the point. What about the next time a cop pulls you over when you're going 7 over and you just decide that it wasn't that big of a deal that you got pulled over?
And a passerby is like, what are you doing? Smacks the cop on the butt.
What about the next time that I'm walking through a mall and a cop didn't like,
your shoes.
I screamed at someone in my phone? Or I don't know why the cop was doing what he was doing. Right. Here's what I know. Neither do you, first of all, whoever's talking right now to me saying this. And second, Don't slap him on the ass.
So let's say this is the way I would do it.
This is not junior varsity.
Yeah, let's say the
football.
I'm just calling him an officer. I don't know what he is. I don't know if he's security. I don't know what's going on.
They're saying cop in the story.
So let's say this officer was completely in the wrong, is completely being like a stick in the mud, just whatever. Let's say everything he was doing was incorrect. At no time does that then justify citizen Odell Beckham, who's not a part of the LSU Tigers in this moment, striking him on the buttocks.
Which by the way,
there's no
that's it for
A
me.
Than B. Right?
That's it. Like, why is he in there? Why is the cop even in the locker room? First of all, there's security guards in every locker room.
Well, it's Odell Beckham's role to make sure to patrol the locker room for the LSU Tigers and make sure that only appropriate people are there.
I don't know. Let's say that this cop drove from the headquarters, unassigned to even be there, and went in to make this kid's life miserable.
Just to yell at this kid.
Just to yell at this one kid. Then we can sort that out later. Here's what doesn't get to happen. Odell Beckham Jr., who has nothing to do with anything, flicking something in his face, taunting him, and hitting him in the butt. I just don't understand why adult human beings defend other adults for decisions like this. And you know that I'm a big second chance guy. When you kind of unknowingly do something or whatever, I just don't suffer fools well when this is over and over again with OBJ.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, why on earth is anyone giving him the benefit of the doubt? How many times does he have to make terrible decisions before you just say, this is a knucklehead?
It's buffoonery is what it is. It's selfish buffoonery. And
you know, are you defending Antonio Brown's stupid video too? Are we going to defend him too? Now, I guess back to the specific question. Should there be an arrest warrant? Should they go arrest him? If it was up to me, would I press charges? No, I wouldn't. If I'm the DA, am I going and getting Odell Beckham Jr. to come in and have some hearing and pay $10,000 or whatever it's going to be? No, I'm not doing all that. But just sitting here in this chair, me, I don't feel bad for this guy.
I don't feel bad
Stop
at all.
Stop acting like an idiot.
Yeah, this is very avoidable.
I watched the Aaron Hernandez documentary last night.
Uh-huh.
This is I'm not comparing the two, but what I am telling you is these athletes that do dumb stuff all the time, they just get away with everything. And they get away with it because people want to appease them, and they like them, and they love them, and it's everything they do is just kind of funny or humorous or, you know, it's like what they do doesn't matter as much. So Aaron Hernandez was at a bar, and his first weekend at the University of Florida, and a bartender came up and said, you got to pay for your drinks. He's walking out. He just sucker punches the guy right in the face and drops him, this guy that works at this bar. Never got in trouble for that. Charges were dropped. Florida stepped in. All those people, oh, no, it's fine. If he actually got in trouble for acting like an idiot at some point, maybe you learn you can't act like an idiot. The next time he gets in trouble, there's like a player described that looks like Aaron Hernandez. It was never linked to have been him, but a Florida player with his description that like just opened fire and shot a bunch of rounds toward people he was upset at one point. Now, he didn't get in trouble for that. They never proved that it was him. We don't know if it was him. It's all an allegation. But again, this documentary shows that he kept kind of up in the bar and up in the bar and up in the bar, and he never got in trouble.
Never got checked.
My point is, you know, with athletes, I think sometimes they just believe they can do whatever the hell they want. It's not just athletes. Celebrities,
sure.
You know, whoever. This is nothing. What he did was nothing. He slapped the cop on the butt. But either acting like an adult and a pro matters or it doesn't. I just don't get why we keep dumbing down society more and more and more and making these things acceptable and socially okay. Don't you see that we're doing that all the time?
Of course I do. Of course I do. I mean, it's absolutely a thing.
The bar gets lowered in politics and in sports and in the world. I mean, what used to be an acceptable, decent decorum is always being lowered, and no one seems to care about that. As long as you can use crying emojis and say it was funny, though, you know?
Yeah.
But if you want to say he shouldn't have been charged, I got no problem with that. Am I mad that he got charged? I'm not.
Yeah, I don't feel too bad. I don't feel too bad at all.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. By the way, you saw Joe Burrow said that the cash was real, right?
Yes, I did see that.
LSU came out and said it wasn't. You and I were saying, it looked like real cash.
Like it's pretty real cash.
Joe Burrow says it's real cash, for whatever that's worth. Carl Hagelin of the Capitals at 12:45. What Jessica Mendoza said that everyone in the country is talking about today in regards to the Astros next. We'll be right back. today on Mike Golick's radio show with Trey Wingo. Jessica Mendoza, who is very strangely an employee of the Mets somehow, but also the voice and face of Sunday Night Baseball, which seems like a weird and direct conflict of interest, in my opinion. But she works for the Mets, which is a big part of why this is a problem, I guess, or people are taking issue with it. She works actively for a Major League Baseball team. She also is on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. She was on Golic and Wingo. They were discussing what happened with the Astros. Mike Fiers is the whistleblower who came out and blew this entire cheating scandal up. He's the guy that was with the Astros, knew that they were cheating, used to tell his teams after he left, like the Tigers, hey, guys, this is what they're doing. Just so you know, we got to vary our counts and our signals. They're going to try to steal our signs. But he went public, and actually in a piece written about, I don't know, a month or 5 weeks ago now by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, they had a bunch of unnamed sources. The only guy that put his name on his quotes, it was courageous enough to do so, was Mike Fiers, who used to play there, and divulging how the information would be developed and the signs would be stolen. But as you can imagine, there are a lot of people around baseball that aren't happy that he did that, and apparently Jessica Mendoza was one of those people.
Do you have a problem with Mike Fiers leaving the Astros, going to another team, and then going public with this?
Going public, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're with the Oakland A's and you're on another team, I mean, heck yeah, you better be telling your teammates, look, hey, heads up, if you hear some noises when you're pitching, like, this is right. What's going right. on, for sure. But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me. And honestly, it made me sad for the sport that's how this all got found out. I mean, this wasn't something that MLB naturally investigated or that even other teams complained about because they naturally heard about and then investigations happened. But it came from within. It was a player that was a part of it, that benefited from it during the regular season when he was a part of that team. And that, when I first heard about it, it's just, it hits you like any teammate would, right? It's something that you don't do. I totally get telling your future teammates, helping them win, letting people know. But to go public with it and call them out and start all of this, it's hard to swallow.
This is a Major League Baseball employee who works for the team, by the way, that just hired the player who supposedly this entire thing started with, Carlos Beltran, saying it's sad for the sport that he blew the whistle, saying that it's something that you don't do, coming out and telling on your teammates who are cheating. Now, I understand that this opinion is going to be out there, and I get that. To go public is hard to do, she said. To go public, it's hard to swallow that, she said. Well, are we going to make Mike Fiers the bad guy here? The quote, it's a sad day for the sport. When we now know and are ridding the game of sign stealing with technology in a way that we didn't previously, really surprising take by Jessica Mendoza.
I guess I wonder what did she hope happened? What did she hope? Was it that Major League Baseball like catches wind of this and Rob Manfred in his office, the instant this is a rumor, begin to investigate, everybody stays anonymous, they throw the book at Houston, etc. I'm sorry, but we've never lived in a society like that. It takes a whistleblower. It takes somebody to blow the lid off. It takes someone to get the public invested in the potential that this is occurring for substantive change to be made. Otherwise, we'd still be doing steroids. We'd still be, pitchers would be taking greenies, whatever amphetamine, there'd be diesel and unleaded coffee in the clubhouse. We'd still have all of these things, right? If it weren't for this type of procedure. And I understand maybe the sentiment of saying, I wish this guy hadn't, you know, betrayed the confidence of his teammates in an organization. I guess I understand that. But the benefit greatly outweighs the cost, doesn't it? I mean, we're now cleaning up the thing. To me, it's sad that it's like we talk about video or we don't believe it. It's sad that we're there, but we're here. So you need it, right?
I hate to be binary and black and white here. But he's either a hero or a villain, right? In one way or the other. I can't call him a villain.
Not for me.
Now, a lot of people will say, well, he benefited from it, and she used that word. Where was he then? I think it's a lot harder when you're actively on the team in that clubhouse to come out and say, hey, we're cheating. All my teammates are cheating. Good luck existing in that clubhouse. But when you get out of there and you're now free and you're still in baseball, it's not like you don't have to play that team. So he's got a chance to have to wear it against that team. He came out and he said what they were doing. I would not have done what he did, primarily because I don't have the courage that he had, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to face all the scrutiny and the backlash. I'm not going to be persona non grata among a bunch of people in baseball and maybe not get a job in the sport after that. I'm not doing that. But to vilify him, which is what I think she did, is crazy here. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We can get back into this top of next hour. Next, though, Carl Hagelin of the Washington Capitals joins us for his weekly appointment on G&D. He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan, and you know what the music means. It's time to talk to our buddy Carl Hagelin, who joins us each and every week on G&D, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Carl, great to have you on the show again. How are you, pal?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Doing wonderful. We'll start with the fact that you guys finally pitched a shutout. You may have played your best defensive game of the season, and you really came up strong when you needed it a couple of days ago. Does that momentum carry over, or when you have a day off like you did yesterday, is that normally left in the rearview mirror and you got to start over tonight against the Devils?
I think it should carry over a little bit to a certain extent. I think it was a bit of a character win where you could see every single guy showed up compared to the game before when it looked like most of us were already on break, you know, so... I think that was one of those games against a good Carolina team where every single guy did their part, and that's what we're going to need from every single guy moving forward here as well. So tonight's another good challenge.
But Carl, listen, you guys play so many games. I mean, it's impossible, I think, to, you know, to have playoff kind of intensity on a nightly basis and, you know, and anything else. But that one felt like, at least just watching as an observer, like it meant more to you guys, given – postseason last year, given the first couple games this year, given the kind of the way that they played against you. Is that crazy to say that that one meant more than your standard, you know, 47th game out of 82?
No, I think you're right. I think that's a team we really wanted to beat. Obviously, they ended our season last year, and then, you know, this year they won the first two games. And we talked about it before, and we wanted to win the season series since we got a 1 point there. The first time we played them, we lost in OT, so we end up winning two and, you know, basically getting 5 out of 8 points, which isn't great, but it's still a win when it comes to the season series, and always good games against that team.
Carl Hagelin of the Caps on Grant and Danny. You played the Devils on Saturday. You play them again tonight. When you play a team twice in 5 days, do you have to do less prep work on it, you know, today, pregame, because you just played them and you kind of know what to expect? Or do you act like this is a game with a team you haven't played all year?
Well, usually you do less prep work, but since we played so badly last time we played them, we had to kind of redo it.
What happened in that game? That was probably your worst game of the year.
I would say so. We, like I said, it was one of those games, but no one really showed up. You have a couple of stinkers every year, and that was definitely one of them. But, again, I guarantee you we'll come out with more urgency tonight. And hopefully a better game plan.
Carl Hagelin with us here on Grant and Danny weekly spot for him. I mean, you're not old by any standard that our society judges, but you've been around this league for a little while. And there's a lot of young kids kind of making their way, I think, on this roster, kind of building into this winning culture. And we forget sometimes that, you know, someone that's 22 couldn't be more different in life than someone that's 35, 36 with kids and the like. How have you kind of evolved as a mentor for some of the younger players? Is it one of those you just speak up when asked, or do you volunteer things? How do you feel about that just in terms of mentorship for some of the younger guys?
Yeah, I think as you get older, you don't think about it too much. It just kind of it comes naturally. I think it's you've been in their spot. You've been in their shoes when, you know, your first couple of years, and you knew how great it was when an older guy just talked to you. It didn't have to be about anything in specific, you know, in particular. It didn't have to be hockey. It didn't have to be life. Just, you know, talk a little bit, have some conversations. I know that goes a long way for a young guy, and that's kind of what you try to do. And then if you're playing with a young guy, right now I'm playing with, you know, Richie and Laura, who's been in the league for a while, so we don't really have to talk too much about, you know, it's still good to help each other out. You can do that, but we don't need to give each other life advice, really. But some of these young guys, it's nice just to chat with them, and you know, from my own perspective, it's nice to get some energy from them too, because they're in a different part of part of their life than I am, and I've been there too. But it's fun to hear their stories and see what's going on.
Carl, Ilya Samsonov is leading the NHL in goals against average right now. Best among all the goalies, 2.11. He's only 22. Has he surprised you at all? Did you anticipate, based on what you saw in the preseason and maybe in camp, that he could be this caliber of goaltender?
I think it's always hard to know about a goalie when you just see him in practice, because there's always going to be goalies that are really good in practice but not as good in games, and I feel like he's the opposite. He's a true gamer. When the puck drops in a game, he just turns into this monster in that, which is great. I heard he was supposed to be a really good goalie, but I don't think I expect him to play this well for us.
Carl, is there a guy? I mean, I think of we had Radko Gudas on the show a couple months ago, and he's a guy that, in no uncertain terms, when he played for somebody else, like, I hated his guts. I just couldn't stand him. He was a goon, and it turned out he's a nice guy, and that's good that he's a nice guy, and he's, you know, and you guys love him as a teammate. Is there a guy out there, or maybe even a couple, that you just cannot stand going up against because you know he's going to be chirping, he's going to be taking the, you know, pushing the boundaries and going up, you know, kind of against all the rules? Is there a guy that you just don't look forward to playing against?
Not really, to be honest with you. I think the league's changed a little in that way. There's probably more of those guys right when I got in the league, where you had to make sure you kept your head up on the ice. They were out there trying to run you every single shift. But the league's kind of gone away from that, I would say. So there's no one really that I despise in the league when it comes to that stuff.
Speaking of people that we despise, the Penguins just don't go away, man. They had a million injuries this year. Crosby just came back, and they scored 7 goals in his return. He had 4 points. I know that they're without their top goal scorer now, Jake Guentzel, but they're just 4 points behind you guys. You haven't played them yet this year, and it looks like they're primed for a push. What do you make of the season they've had despite all those injuries and the competition they'll provide in the Metro?
Yeah, I mean, give them credit. Like you said, a ton of injuries. Different guys have stepped up for them, and I think they have a pretty good belief in their system, those guys. Not that it's that many. They still have that core group with the star players that they've always had, but new guys seem to come in that lineup and do well every single time, and that's, you know, give them credit, give their coach and staff credit. It's one of those things. I'm looking forward to playing them there 4 times in a month.
Carl, thanks as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, and don't be scared to smack the Devils around a little bit tonight. Put me at 4-5.
You're right.
4-5 goal win would be just fine.
That'd be great.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Carl. Love having Haglund on the show each and every week, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, home of 83 or it's free. FH Fur is going to clear any slow or clogged drain for just $83. If they can't, it's free. Details at fhfur.com. Yesterday,
that's right,
we had a conversation, you and I.
We did.
About your chicken.
About my chicken. I didn't even know it was about my chicken until it was. We were informed what chicken actually was. It's not the delicious meat.
Previously on Grant and Danny, if you weren't listening yesterday, you had a meeting with your financial advisor.
I did, yes.
That's a very adult word, by the way.
It's a phrase.
Yeah.
That made me feel like a grown-up.
But Danny's got his pocket straight.
We're working on it.
He's got his chicken straight.
We're working on that.
So the point is, you told me, I felt bad, he was shrapnel. But you said my financial advisor, Tripp.
My guy, Tripp Kelly.
And then I was like, oh, his name's Tripp. That's very surprising.
And you just assumed he went to St. Albans,
right,
graduated with me.
In fairness, Danny's friends from St. Albans, uh-huh, I've met many of them. They're all very pleasant, all very nice men. I like them. They probably all hate me because I make fun of their names. But they all have...
Both are true.
Irrationally crazy, irresponsibly over the top...
Prep school names.
I come from a lot of money names.
Yes.
That's what they all have.
Uh-huh.
So I just assumed this was another one of your buddies from St. Albans.
But listen, the thing you sleep on is there's plenty of Johns and Mikes. And
not that many.
Yes, there are.
Okay, but there are also Winchips.
There are those.
Harlows.
There are those.
Rothschild, whatever that guy's name is.
Yep.
There's plenty of those, too.
There's plenty of that
also.
We
don't have those in other schools.
That's right.
So anyway, so I inadvertently threw Tripp into the category. Then we got into a big conversation about Tripp. But it turns out after you texted him and said, "How's my chicken?" Because we learned that chicken means money.
So I was supposed to ask him two things. One, where do you go to high school? Turns out, and I forgot about this. I knew this, but I'd forgotten. He went to high school with Kevin McCarthy. And the relationship that the Junks,
Virginia Beach.
Like down in Virginia Beach.
Nowhere near here.
The relationship the Junks have with Kevin McCarthy is very similar to his relationship to Kevin McCarthy. In that he talked a lot, and I believe the term is joned. Pretty
joned
frequently.
On him again.
But yeah, it's been pretty standard. And then I was supposed to text him, "Where'd you go to high school? And how's my chicken doing?" And I said, and I put him in parentheses. This will make a little bit more sense if you hear the segment. So we went back and heard the segment. And so today he brought us Chick-fil-A.
It looks like we have a lot of delicious chicken.
Brought us Chick-fil-A.
Very excited.
He brought us Chick-fil-A.
Trips in studio, thank you very much for coming in.
It's the way to our hearts.
And bringing chicken. We're very, very happy. I love your name, and I love...
You don't.
We're all friends. No, I love it. I do. It's a very cool name. It's a very cool name.
You got to stand out in the industry,
I like
and he does.
Unique names. He stands out.
Stands out.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, the 1 o'clock Thanks, hour next. I want to take some calls on Jessica Mendoza being upset that Mike Fiers pulled on his Astros teammates for two.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.